To welcome them up here. Before we do so, let's just again pray a special blessing not only upon them, but upon us as we are receptive to what they have to tell us or say to us. Lord God, we just want to pray for this evening. We thank you once again that we're able to gather here tonight. We thank you for the beauty of your creation that we have enjoyed today, that is outside. We're just so thankful, Lord, for the mercy that you've had upon us in this world. We're only worthy of damnation because of our sin. We're only worthy of that. But you've given us so much in your patience and your long suffering. You've given us a beautiful world to inhabit, one that speaks out the name of Christ, that proclaims you. Everywhere we go, and everything we see, even as we look at each other, we see your image. It cries out to us. We thank you for that. But we thank you for giving us hearts as well that realize our need to hear your word, to participate in Christian fellowship, so that even though it is beautiful outside, we know that we need to be here. We need to be here gathering together with each other. And praising you and hearing of the wonderful things that you do. And I pray that you would give us ears to hear about that tonight. We pray for these girls. We just ask that you would bless them right now as they share with us. We pray that they would feel your spirit move within them. We pray that the Holy Spirit might land upon this place and that every one of us would be touched by what you're doing in the world. We pray that we would leave here fresh and invigorated to, as we heard this morning, to preach the word, to take the gospel to all people. And we pray that the girls here would inspire us to do just that. Use them, Lord, and use us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello, and thank you to each one of you who came here this evening to catch a glimpse of our trip to, recent trip to Nova Scotia on a missions trip. I say catch a glimpse because that, quite frankly, will be all that we will be able to accomplish this evening. There's simply too much that we saw, heard, and did for even all of us all together to give you the whole picture. God is so magnificent, and we stand in awe with thanksgiving. We, the glorified Nova Scotia missions team, consist of a group of 12 mostly young ladies. Miss Betty Reed has valiantly, though humbly, and brilliantly, I might add, led this endeavor along with her trusted and also capable right-hand woman, Angela Doucette. It has been my joy to see God move through these two ladies as they, without pause or hesitation, have followed hard after him. I want to thank them so much. I am also so thankful for each and every one of the other young ladies on our team. The glorified girls, the official glorified girls, Jessica Flynn, Amy Heron, Jade Goodwin, Emily Flynn, Sydney Heron, and Lily Goodwin, as well as the upcoming glorified girls, Carrie Heron, Emily Doucette, and Annie Doucette. These girls have each so generously given of themselves, and I'm so very proud of them. I am Deb Heron, and I'd like to welcome you this evening with just a few snapshots of our time away from you, but clearly in the presence of the Lord. Before I get on the road to Nova Scotia, may our team first take a moment to recognize the impact God is having in our own home of Newcastle. Though I myself was unable to attend last week's VBS here at Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church, I heard many wonderful things about it. Most importantly, of course, is the fact that God saved souls because workers here took seriously their responsibility to share the gospel. We all get to be on the mission field. You will soon hear many more testimonies of God's grace because I promise that I will soon share the mic. But may I take a moment to tell you just a few snapshots that I took. God demonstrated His presence in such a real way as we traveled both to and from Port Maitland, Nova Scotia. I have driven much, but taken the wheel for extended times very little prior to this trip. My Lord showed me that I, Deborah Heron, can do so much more than I ever hoped for or imagined. I drove and drove and drove and never got sleepy. I can and I will only ever give God all the glory. God touched us both inwardly and outwardly. He showed us the absolute magnificence of His creation at Piggy's Cove, and He provided us with a level of hospitality that can have only come from His working in the lives of His people. The folks of Bayview United Baptist Church poured their loving kindness upon us from the moment we arrived until our final goodbyes after Donna Grant and some others led us two hours into our trek homeward bound. They fed and fed and fed us some more. They provided us all with incredible accommodations. They talked with us. They listened to us. They supported us in every aspect of our ministry in Nova Scotia. They provided us with a church and many supplies, and they constantly did hands-on work for and with us. We know that we were bathed in prayer before and during our time with them. There's no doubt in my mind that it continues to this day. We clearly saw the Lord's hand on His people in Port Maitland, Nova Scotia. I also must touch upon Vacation Bible School. That's what we travel to do, as well as other opportunities to share the gospel through drama, singing, and testimonies. It was amazing. I'll never forget Nate the Great. That's what I call him. His love for Jesus shone through his eyes. Despite the fact that he had cerebral palsy, he could move around like nobody else. He could play with a ball like nobody else. And I just loved him, and we all did. But when I had an opportunity to sit down and talk to him about who Jesus really was and just ask him some questions, he very quickly showed me that he told me, and it was obvious that he had a saving knowledge of Jesus. And I looked at him and I said, well, I'm not surprised. I saw it in your eyes from the moment I first met you. And so he's a gift. Nate is a gift. He was adopted from Russia when he was 6 years old, and God's hand has been on his life, and I just pray that it will continue to be. And I just had to throw that in because he was such a wonderful young man. God used our gifts in such a beautiful way, and He touched our girls, all of us, in fact, as you can tell, immensely. We all learned something about Max Flex as we gladly bent to His will daily, even moment by moment. Please enjoy continuing to hear our hearts and glimpsing some of what happened by the grace of God in Port Maitland, Nova Scotia. I'm sorry. We'll start off with the prodigal.
You held out your arms, I walked away. Insolent, I spurned your face. Squandering the gifts you gave to me. Holding close, forbidden. Thank you.
I was asked to share a few highlights of the trip with you guys, so here goes. Hello, everyone. I am Jade Goodwin. God gave me a wonderful chance to go on a missions trip to Nova Scotia by making the way clear for me to go, and only through him was I able to be of any use while I was down there. On the Thursday night, while we were there, I had a chance to share my testimony with the families of the VBS. Now let me tell you the whole story. See, I had a testimony prepared before I went on the trip, and I had the exact idea of where I wanted to share it and what was going to happen. Words for the wise. Don't ever think you got it all planned out. Please. God's going to say, ha, you think this? I think this is better. So anyways, I wanted to share it at the youth night, but Miss Betty put me on the camp night. And the day before, I said I really felt like I shouldn't be saying my testimony at the camp night. So my sister Lily got to share her testimony, which she will tell you about later. Another day went by, and Miss Betty again switched me from the youth night to the barbecue for the VBS families. And I went, okay, well, she moved me once. I felt like I should go back. She moves me twice. Maybe I'm not supposed to talk the youth night. So I sat down the day of the VBS BBQ, and I said, God, I know everything I wrote in my last testimony was useless for this, because I aimed it so much at teens. So I think you want me to write about this. So I'm going to start, and you can finish it, okay? The testimony got written, and before I knew it, I was standing on the beach saying it. You can ask Angela or Betty if you don't believe the second part, but it turns out that some of the things in my testimony hit home for a few of the people there. For example, God led me to say, church is important. I don't care how tired or busy you are, go to church. And a few people there were saved Christians, but just weren't interested in church. Honestly, I laugh when I think about it. I wanted to do so many different things, and God was there the whole time. No, Jade, I don't want you on the youth night. I want you here. And I kept fighting, but it was at the moment where I let him lead me. He used me to the fullest. Now, on the Saturday night before the youth night, Jessica Flynn and I were talking. And both of us were kind of discouraged because we felt if our hearts were in the right place, which we hoped they were, and we had been praying we would have the chance for God to let us lead someone to Him for Him to save, why we didn't get the chance to lead someone to Him. Jessica and I talked about this for a while and frankly arrived at no discovery. Then we went to the youth group and had the night. Of course, God gave Jessica, Emily, and Lily a chance to lead someone to Him, and I was happy for them. I mean, I had two new sisters in Christ, but something inside me was like, God, why not me? Did I do something wrong? The thought raced through my head for a while. Then Emily Slim came up to me and said, the Moores would like to see the skit. The skit they wanted to see was the one we just performed, and the Moores magically had not had the chance to see it all week. And 10 or 15 minutes before this skit had started, three little boys had snuck into the church and started to eat our food. We told them they had to sit down if they wanted to stay because we had to do the skit. The skit was performed, and during it, I kept praying, God, this is for you. It's always for you. Just use this to hit someone, please. That was the usual prayer I prayed during the missions trip while a song was happening. But this one felt different. The moment the song finished, I looked and saw a little boy sitting down on a chair, and he was just playing with the chips on his plate. I walked over to him and asked him if he understood the skit. I explained it to him, went over the Romans Road, and God saved that boy while I sat there and prayed with him and Miss Petty. I still look at that and think, Jade, you're an idiot. Because I kept thinking, what's God doing? And then he went, Jade, I have a plan. It just isn't what you think. As I invite Jessica to come up, I would just like to say that before I went on this trip, I thought I would be able to come back and say, I did this and did that and whatnot. But honestly, I was just there. God went, go there. I went, okay, sure, not knowing why, and He used me just because I was willing. I'm not the smartest, wisest, most athletic, artistic, or really the most of anything, but God used me. This whole trip was God. If any one of us girls says, this was me, I give you permission to smack us in the face, because it was all God. He did everything. He did it for His, and He did it for His honor and glory.
Okay, so this is the conversation that Jade and I had on Tuesday night.
Okay. Hey, Jess, you want to go for a walk?
Okay.
30 minutes later, because Jessica is very impossible at getting out the door.
So, Jade, I feel like nothing big is happening on this mission trip. Like, it's too comfortable, and, like, you know how Pastor Jacques was telling us about when he wanted to become a pastor and there was a clear sign and God showed him that sign?
Yeah.
I feel like nothing clear or obvious ever happens in my life.
I kind of feel the same way. Maybe it's just because some people are, like, more indecisive than other people are.
So you think we're too indecisive?
Maybe. Okay. Just as we were continuing this great conversation, two little girls ran up to us, McKenna and Lily.
And they wanted their 12-year-old brother to meet us so he could come to VBS. And as they ran to get him, a cat ran out the door, and the next thing we knew, all the kids were chasing the cat. So I said, Jade, should we go help them find their cat?
I don't know.
Well, you just said we're too indecisive, so let's just go do it.
Okay. So pretty much we wound up going across the street and helping the kids find the cat, which we weren't very helpful. But we were there. So we talked to the kids and we got to know them better, and we got a chance to invite them out to the youth group and the VBS. And because it was more personal, they came out. So two times Jessica and I had conversations where we were like, what's God doing? And then God was like, guys, I have a plan. So He always has a plan.
Thanks, Jade. Okay, so I'm going to finish part of that story in a minute. But first, I'd like to introduce myself. When they told me that I had 5 minutes to write this, I was like, I'll never be able to do that. The last night that we were in Nova Scotia, my friend Amy and I went for a walk on the beach along the ocean, and I said, like, Amy, how are we going to tell our church what happened? Like, how do we show them this? And for the first time in my friendship with Amy, she didn't have anything to say. So, anyway, my name's Jessica Flibb. And a long time ago, I decided that I wanted to spend the summer serving God. There are many ways to do this, And so when Miss Betty told me that there was a mission trip going out east, I was very excited when God opened the doors to allow me to go. To be very honest, the trip did not go at all how I had initially expected. Before I left, I wrote down what I thought would happen on the trip, and when I got home and compared it to what actually happened, I realized that I had totally underestimated both what God would do on this trip and how He would work in my life. God used many people and conversations on this trip to work on me, and because it would take 12 days to tell you about them all, I'm going to spend some time telling you about a girl God used in my life to help me to grow, and her name's Lily Melanson, which starts back where Jade and I left off. So during the two-hour search for the cat, this gave us a chance to build a relationship with the kids, and by the end of the week, four of those were saved, Lily being one of them. The night Jade and I met Lily, she was very frightened, and no adults were home or aware of where she was. She ran up to us crying and told me that she was scared, and so we took her into Donna Grant's house, the lady where we were staying. And after talking to her for a little bit, it was clear to me that she was from a broken family. She was 10 years old, but a lot of her innocence was gone. She was very manipulative, and she wasn't a little girl anymore at all. She told me of some problems that she had, which included being bipolar and having ADD. And that night when her grandfather drove in across the street, I took her home. And as we walked there, I asked her if she liked going to church. And she said, "I do go to church. My parents tell me all the time that I'm bad, and I hope that if I go to church enough, God will let me get into heaven." And I was able to share the gospel with her for the first time, and I told her, "Going to church won't save you. Jesus alone can." Throughout the rest of the week, I would pick her up in the morning for VBS, and I was able to share the gospel many times with her. There were some moments when I was very discouraged. I would tell her the gospel and about Jesus, and I began to wonder if she understood anything that I was saying when she'd respond by saying, "Can we go get a snack now?" And I was like, "No, I'm not done." So it was during these moments that God put my favorite verse on my mind, which is 2 Corinthians 12:9, which says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my trials and hardships, that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" It was these moments that I truly felt weak, but they made me see how strong God is. And I remembered that it was not my grace that was sufficient for Lily, but His. And all I had to do was tell her about this grace and love her like Jesus. God showed me the sufficient grace the following Thursday when we had our VBS barbecue for the kids and parents on the beach. Lily's parents, of course, did not come, so I picked her up and walked with her to the beach. She told me she was very angry with me because I was going home to Ontario and began screaming loudly. I told her to stop, and she blamed it on the fact that she was bipolar and said that she couldn't. I wondered if this was true or if it was something her parents had simply told her as an excuse, so I told her, "I don't know if you can stop screaming or not, but I would really like it if you at least tried." And then I looked at her jokingly and said, "Or I might get really mad at you." And she looked at me and she said, "But Jess, that doesn't go with anything that you've been telling me this week." And I said, "You know, Lily, like, Christians are not perfect. They get angry sometimes. You can ask my sister if I get angry with her and she will tell you yes." Being a Christian means that you're going to live a life for Jesus and you're going to try your best to live in a way that honors Him. And she just got so happy, and she said, "Then I'm a Christian because I believe what you've told me this week." And for me to hear this was very encouraging. I prayed with her during the weekend. She was given a Bible, and God showed me something amazing the following Sunday. Lily had told me she wanted to come to church, but on the Saturday, she came up to me and said, "Bye, I have to leave now. My mom wants me home." And so I said bye, and as she drove away, I thought, "God, why would you let her have to go home early if she could come to church? Like, I don't get it." And I realized from things that had happened the past week that God had a plan. I just didn't know what it was. And that night as I was walking back to the house that I was staying in, I passed her grandfather and I said, "Have a good night." And he said, "It's not a good night." And he was really angry. And I said, "Is everything okay?" And he said, "No, I have to go pick up Lily." And I said, "You do?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Oh, why?" And he goes, "I don't know. She's just got to come back here." And I smiled the whole way home, and I thought, yes, Lily's coming to church after all. When I went to get her the next morning, she was very tired, And I asked her why, and she said, because I was up till 3 in the morning reading John where he told me to go, and I read past, and then I started praying, and blah, blah, blah. And she was just so happy, and that was really cool for me to see that a girl who 24 hours earlier didn't read the Bible on her own, she couldn't really pray on her own, and now she'd been doing that all on her own. And it was hard to leave because I was sad that I wouldn't be able to see her as she grows in her faith. But in the short week that God gave me with her, I saw a change of her heart, and God used that to change mine. At the beginning of the week, I was given a chance to talk to an older man, and he told me the story of his son's conversion, and by the end he was crying, and I thought, like, that's happy, why are you crying so much? And by the end of the week, when I said bye to Lily, I too cried, because I understood that to see someone before Christ, to pray with them, to pray for them, to walk with them, and to see them accept the Lord is something that you can't understand until you experience it. God blessed me enough to let me experience that with Lily. I am uneasy about the term that says I led that person to Christ, because I feel like that is focusing on I. I learned from this trip that I did nothing but make myself available to God, and he used me for it, and God blessed me for it, so much more than I could have ever hoped to be used by him to bless others. I was talking to Mrs. Doucette about that at the end of the week, and she told me, Jess, you can't outgive God, and she couldn't be more right. I've never learned so much in such a short time. I learned to never underestimate God, to have a heart for unsaved people, that my whole life is a missions trip, and that God has perfect timing and a perfect plan. The Bible says the fields are ripe and ready for harvest, not just in Nova Scotia, but here as well. And at our youth retreat last weekend, Nathan reminded me that the God I saw working in Nova Scotia wasn't the Nova Scotian God, but he's the God here too, and the God that I pray to even when I'm alone. Matthew 16:24 says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And as I told Lily while I was there, this life is hard, but it is a good life, and it is a full life. Thank you.
For any of you who don't know me, my name is Emily Flynn, and I was one of the girls who was blessed to go on the trip to Nova Scotia. I'll start by saying this. Out of all the days or weeks of my life, none of them could come even close to comparing with this trip. Not just for the people we met, and not just for how close we got to the other group members, and not even just for the awesome things that happened while we were there, but mostly for the amazing work that God was doing in all of us while we were there. Sometimes I think I got more out of this trip than anyone, and even the people in Nova Scotia, but after talking to a few other people from the trip, I know I wasn't alone in this opinion. It is impossible for even one of us to say that we didn't see God working. Because I'm a bit short on time, I'm going to try to sum up everything quickly, but still give you an idea of what really happened. First, God working. I've never felt his presence so close in my life than I did on that trip. God answered every single one of my prayers with a yes and more. From this, I learned a few very important lessons. One, never compare yourself to Christ and never think that your ideas of life could be above his. Two, never expect him to do things your way. And three, never think he isn't listening, because he always is. This became very clear to me when Lily, Amy, and I were in the basement of the church creating a craft and preparing for the next day's VBS. While we were cutting tissue paper and having a very harmless conversation, or not so harmless when God plans to use it, of how we felt God wasn't working through us in a very dramatic way, and how we weren't pushing ourselves out of our comfort zone like we had hoped. Jade and Jessica were already dealing with the consequences of a similar conversation they had had. As Jade and Jessica shared with you a bit about what happened in their conversation and the results, I'll talk a bit about mine and what happened. After Jade and Jessica spent a few hours chasing a cat with these kids, they were sent to get Amy and Lily and I from the church for a check-in. Though a lot of time had passed when they left Mrs. Grant's house and actually got to the church because of the events that they took place, Amy and Lily and I eventually found ourselves in Mrs. Grant's kitchen, completely confused. After some deciphering of the strange things that took place and girls talking about what was going on everywhere, Lily and I seemed to click at the exact same time what was really going on. We both looked at each other, and through eye contact, I kind of figured we were thinking the same thing. That being, wow, talk about God throwing your harmless words back in your face. During our harmless conversation, God had already started working out a result for us. When Lily and I understood this, we walked out of the room, up the stairs, into a bedroom, where we sat down and came to the conclusion it was time to pray. The focus of our prayer was, God, we don't know how you got these three girls into the kitchen, Lily, Kaylee, and Savannah, but we know you have them here for a reason. We know you took our kind of self-centered conversation and used it to do an extremely mighty work. We know you brought them here for a reason, and please let us be part of this reason. We're here, and we want to be used by you. Please use us. And, well, he did. After a week of getting to know Savannah and Kaylee, they came to our Saturday night youth group. They listened and were clearly touched. At the end of the night, I was talking to a girl, and she told me she was going to go talk to my sister, which left me standing alone. That's when I saw Lily talking to Savannah and Kaylee with her Bible open. I walked over to find Lily pointing to a verse and Kaylee reading it out loud. When I heard it, I knew it was Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, and I knew exactly what she was doing. After they finished, Lily asked the two of them if they wanted to accept Christ. They seemed interested, but I didn't think they really understood because of all the stuff that was going on in the room. They had a bit of distractions. I asked if they understood, and they kind of were on the edge. So Jessica, Lily, and Kaylee, Savannah, and I made our way into the sanctuary. We talked about it further, and we explained it. We shared and related to their lives and showed them how the Bible and Christ had been our main comfort in these situations. I asked them again, and now they were a yes. They wanted Christ. They didn't know how to pray, so Jessica prayed, and they repeated in their head. And one of my biggest doubts had always been, do they actually get it, and do they actually understand it? Do they actually see the free gift the way we do? And I prayed, God, please let them see it, let them understand it. Don't let them just be doing this for us because we want them to. Let them actually be doing this for themselves. And we finished praying, and I opened my eyes, and both of them were in tears. And that was kind of like an eye-opener for me, like, God, you really didn't just do this for them, but you did it for me too, to see, like, this is them too. This isn't just what we want. This is them. You're working in them. So it was so cool for me to see that Jessica and Lily and I had been used by Christ to bring these two girls to him. That night was the best night of my life. I can say that for sure, because after that, God had truly answered all of the prayers that on that trip with a yes, and that was the biggest moment of my life. We sent the girls home with Bibles, and the next day we found all three of them at church, and they had all been talking about how the three of them, Lily and Savannah and Kaylee, had stayed up till about 3, if I remember right, just reading the Bible and praying together, and that was really cool. Then I realized that these were the same three girls that Lily and I had went upstairs and prayed for the night they were in our kitchen all crying. So it was so cool to see God answer that prayer that we had prayed for them, and all three of them, all three that were in the kitchen, were then children of God. This trip taught me so much, both in preparation for it and when we were there. One of the biggest things is, just because God's answer isn't a yes doesn't mean he didn't hear you, because the answers can be no's too. Also Psalm 121, verse 3 and 4. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over Israel will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Because clearly, during that trip, God was working in us day and night. I got to know so much about the other team members and also about myself. I learned from everyone. I wish I could go into detail about every person that I learned from, which was all of them, but I don't have enough time. I have a lot of stories that I would love to tell you, but I also don't have enough time for them either. Thank you for all your emails and letters and talks before we went. They were such an encouragement to me, and I really learned to put my confidence in Christ, which really was noticeable, because a lot of us, when we went, we didn't feel as confident as we should have, which just shows you how much Christ really was working in us, because it wasn't us at all. It was all Christ. Thank you for your support, and for one last thing I want to ask you is just to pray. Pray for all the people there, Savannah, Kaylee, and all the other ones that accepted Christ, because they need it so much. And if I've learned anything on this trip, I've learned the power of prayer. James 5, verse 16 says, "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Now that we know our prayers are effective, we need to pray for them. They need to change from the way they've lived. They need to change by growing in their faith and leaving their old lives behind. So please pray for them. And also, please pray for us. Help us to work wholeheartedly now, like we did in Nova Scotia, and remember that, as Jessica said, the God here is no different than the God in Nova Scotia. Help us remember something we learned, something very important, from one of the girls' devotionals when we were there, and that's, every ground is a missions ground. Thank you.
I remember when you were so in love with your wild eyes and the light that you had and your heart was stolen. Now they say that it ain't for staying. You wanna run but you're hesitating. I'm talking to May. Why don't you rise up now? Don't be afraid to stand down. That's how the lost get found. The lost get found. So when you get the chance, are you gonna take it? There's a really big world at your fingertips, and you know you have the chance to change it. There's a girl in the street, she's crying. There's a man whose faith is dying. Love is calling you. There's a really big world at your fingertips, and you know you have the chance to change it.
My name is Lily, if you don't know. So people keep coming and asking me, how was the trip? And I sit there and I'm like, it was really good. And then they tend to give me this look like, we sent you away for 2 weeks and all you can do is come back and say it was good. So it's just really hard to answer every single person exactly what happened because, well, I'd probably be talking for days, but you know, it's a little too much talking for even me. But so hopefully this answers those questions on how it went. I had the pleasure about talking about a couple events that happened on the trip. Okay, here's the first, camp night. It was on Tuesday night. We went to a camp very much like Millstream, but it was called Camp Peniel. We went there that night to share music skits and testimonies. On that night, it happened to be my night to share my testimony, plus I had solos and songs. That day I had felt really sick, nothing to do with being scared, I was just sick. And then I got there and felt even sicker because I was scared out of my mind because I had never really shared my testimony in a big group before. And I was so scared and sick, I barely ate all day. And about 10 minutes before we started, I got to practice my songs alone for a while. Someone there who saw that I was scared offered to pray with me, so I did, and I felt a little bit better. We sang our songs, I said my testimony, we did skits, and it all went really well. After that, the speaker for the week came up and gave a lesson. The crazy thing is, he came up, and the first thing he said was, "I love when God plans things this way." And almost every single thing in my testimony related to exactly what the teacher had planned for that evening. I knew from that moment that I should trust God because he knows what he's doing. You hear that? He knows what he's doing. And, oh, okay. I didn't know this at the time, but my sister was actually asked first to speak on the camp night, but she said no. For some strange reason, she didn't think she should be speaking that night. And where she ended up saying her testimony was perfect, as you heard. So one of the big lessons I learned is that God has it all planned, no matter what we think. I learned this not in the sense that I didn't know it before, but I learned it in the sense that it wasn't just head knowledge anymore. I also have the pleasure of talking to you about a boy named Anakin. It was Thursday at VBS, and this kid Anakin walked in for the first time. When he first walked in, Angela looked at me and said, "You should go hang out with him. I mean, in case he gets bored or something." You don't say that. You don't usually say that. Like, it's just, it was a weird thing. You usually go and float around, talk to all the kids, you know, just get to know everyone. For some reason, though, I did. I followed him around. Angela, when she was playing with the event, she noticed that he seemed interested. So she told me, and I took the cube over immediately for some strange reason, and started playing with it in front of his face. He looked interested. So then I said, "Do you want to hear the story?" I told him the gospel, and then he quickly told me that he believes in every religion and every God. And then I explained to him how Jesus is the only way to heaven. I explained other things and then asked him if he wanted to accept Jesus. He said yes. I went up to Betty after and told her what had happened. I said, "Someone came to know Christ." And she said, "Oh, who?" And I said, "Anakin." And she gave me a really weird look. And I asked her why later. And she said, because it was his first day and VBS hadn't even started yet. Seems pretty fast, eh? But I soon learned why God had planned it to be that fast. I later got to talk to him more when we split off into small groups. I was scared because, well, I knew that I didn't have the words to say to him. After I thought, I knew that I had to show him that if he was going to serve Jesus, which he decided to do, he was only going to serve Jesus. So right at that moment, Exodus 20 popped in my head. The Ten Commandments that Mrs. Nadeau made us memorize when we were in children's church when I was younger. Where in the beginning it talks about how you shouldn't serve any other gods because God is a jealous God and he deserves our praise. I explained that to him and immediately he had great understanding. I mean, he was 9. How could he understand so well so fast? So I talked to him a bit more and found out that he was from BC and just happened to come and visit his stepfather on the same week that we were doing VBS, and just happened to meet a girl who's going to VBS named McKenna, who just happened to invite him, and he just happened to decide to come on the day that he was leaving to go home. So God had to plan that all just so he could hear the gospel. Amazing. That brings a new meaning to the word all-powerful, because no one could have planned that. So also, here's one other little coincidence that happened on our trip that I thought I should share. For some reason, that Friday on VBS, I felt like when we broke up into small groups, I should be talking to this boy named Trevor. Since Anakin was gone, I had no one to talk to. But I knew that my sister had talked to him yesterday, and we were supposed to talk to the same people as we did yesterday. So as the gospel was being shared, I wasn't sure what Jade would think. So I said to God, "If you want me to talk to Trevor, make him drop the balloon he was playing with." So I stared at him for 5 minutes. Nothing happened. And then I looked away after thinking it wasn't going to happen and heard the balloon hit the ground. So I knew right then that I had to talk to him. And I didn't know why, because he was growing up in a Christian home. He knew the gospel but just wasn't quite ready. But later I learned that God did have a plan, because right before the groups, Jade was thinking, I have no idea what to say to Trevor. And when I took Trevor, it gave Jade a chance to talk to McKenna, who was in a similar life situation as Jade had gone through. Jade could really relate to her, which I thought was cool. I learned a lot of amazing things on this trip. Thank you for your financial support, but more importantly, your prayer. Thanks for listening.
Hello. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Sydney Heron, and I just want to start out by thanking everyone who supported us, both financially and through prayer. We couldn't have done it without each one of you. First of all, I want to tell you about two little girls that were with us most of the week, Lily and McKenna. We met Lily the day after we got there on Sunday at church. She was the only little girl there because she goes to church every week there with her parents, but she's the only youth there. There's no other kids in that church except for her, but McKenna goes sometimes. And McKenna's the other little girl. We met her the same day, right after church. She lives in the house next door to the church, and me and Lily were walking to Donna's house to get something, but I can't remember what. And we just saw her outside playing with a ball, so we decided to go over and talk to her and invite her to the VBS, and she told me that she was already coming, and she was really excited and had invited a bunch of her friends. And later on, we saw her again when she came to the church to look for something. I'm not sure why. But we got to know both those girls really well. They were with us most of the week. Lily's parents were working a lot, so she spent the week with Mrs. Grant, so she was with us, like, the entire time. It was really cool to see them both grow a lot throughout the week. And to keep in touch with them over Facebook, I've been talking to Lily. She messages me every single morning without fail so far. A long letter, and it's been really cool to, like, keep talking to her for the last couple of weeks. One thing that really stuck out to me was the hospitality and the generosity of these people. We were in one of the poorest areas of Canada, but you never would have known by the people there. They were always so willing to serve and to give with more than what they could have done, like more than they should have been able to do, I guess. From like the ladies who were always making us lunch and stuff every day at the VBS to our host people, they were just there to serve us the entire week, which was really cool for me, like, to see. I really enjoyed that. One of my highlights for the week was the youth night. Like all these other girls, when we met Savannah and Kaylee, I had a feeling that they were going to be saved, and I was like, those are the girls we need to be praying for this week. So when Jessica came out and announced to the entire room that they had just gotten saved, I was really excited because that was one thing that I had really felt was going to happen, so that was really cool. The youth night was also very, really cool because, like, it was really small, so I was like, this is going to suck. There's, like, six people here. This is so lame. And I thought, at first, I kind of thought that it was going to be, like, a waste of our time because there's so few people, but it turned out really good, and like they always shared, those two girls got saved, and then a little boy who just wandered in. He didn't even want to be there, but somehow he ended up in there, and he got saved too, so that was really cool. This trip has really stretched me. I had to share my testimony, and I hate public speaking. Can't stand it, but I was forced to share my testimony by Miss Betty and Angela and Aunt Deb, and it was awful. And I learned to trust God and everything. Like, the first day at the VBS, there was 8 kids. And I'm used to the VBS here where there's 60 kids. So seeing so few numbers was really discouraging at first, but then we got to know all the kids. We knew their home situation. We knew their parents. We knew their grandparents. We knew if their parents and their grandparents were both saved. We knew some of their babysitters, and it was really cool getting to know all their, like, people. I wanted to come on this trip because I really felt God calling me to missions recently, and when Miss Betty announced it, it was just like perfect timing, right place, and I felt it was really important to go. In conclusion, I want to share two of my favorite verses with you. One that Jessica shared in hers, 2 Corinthians 12:9. For my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And Romans 1, verse 16, which says, For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. Thank you for letting me share with you tonight.
One of the 12 people who went to Port Maitland, Nova Scotia this couple of weeks ago, I think it was. We had the opportunity to join in with the two Sunday services they had and to help at a camp, a Christian camp. It was just a little ways down the road. And we also got to run a VBS as well as the barbecue like we do here at the end of VBS. And we got to run a youth night as well. And they were all really amazing experiences. And I don't think any of us expected what was going to happen. God definitely figures out what we're, well, already knows what we're going to say. And then definitely exceeds everything we could have imagined. It was the most amazing experience I've ever had in my life. What am I trying to say? So I think we all left for this trip basically expecting that a lot of cool things would happen, but I don't think we really thought that what was going to happen would. It was really, really cool, and the Holy Spirit was definitely there the entire time. We couldn't have done it on our own because most of the time we were unorganized. Like one night, Lily and Emily and I were at the church until like 10 o'clock at night trying to prepare a craft for the next day. And so there was a lot of times that we were not able to do things, and it all got done. So it was really amazing how God worked through it, and it was just so cool. So for the VBS, the largest number of people we ever had was 17, and that was just, I think, one day. So the other days, they were always lower. And at first, I remembered, like, all the time, all the people we have back here or at different churches where it's up in, like, 50 or even 100 sometimes. And I was like, oh, well, this is good, I guess. We have kids, but it's not really all that great a number. But it was actually the perfect number because the 12 of us, there was just enough of us that we could either do one-on-one talks with the kids or share with two kids at the same time. So it was really cool. And one of the days we decided that we would each pair off with either just one kid or a couple of kids, and we would try and make sure they understood what we've been saying throughout the week, that they understood that God loves them and that he came to earth and he died on the cross to save us from our sins, and then he rose again and he's now waiting in heaven for all of us who believe. And so I got a chance to share with two boys, Bryson and Maxwell. They had become really good friends over the week, and we all went to talk, and I was trying to explain to them how the VBS had been going, like just to make sure that they were understanding everything that we had been saying. And it was really cool because they kept on asking questions and just not wading through it, just getting ready to leave again. But it was interesting to them. They were animated and they were excited and they were enjoying talking about this, and it was really cool. And when I asked them if they wanted to accept Christ, they said yes, and I don't even think I was surprised. It was definitely, you could see the Holy Spirit had been working through them, and they were totally and completely ready to do this. They wanted to do it. It wasn't something that they were just like contemplating for the first time. They're just like, okay, I guess I can do that. They seemed to want me to. They were excited to do it. It was the coolest thing ever. And so I asked them if one of them wanted to pray first, but they seemed very willing to let the other one go first. So that was getting them a little bit worried that one of them would have to go first. So I suggested that they could both pray at the same time. So we all bowed our heads, and I didn't hear anything at first, and I didn't know if they were just too nervous and didn't want to do it. But we were in a room with everybody else, so I leaned a little bit closer, and I could hear each of them whispering their prayers to Christ, and it was the coolest thing to hear them because it was definitely sincere. It was nothing that I had. Like mimicked to them before. It was what they felt in their heart, and it was the coolest thing because they looked back up and their eyes were even brighter than before. They were happy boys throughout the whole week, but you could see a new light in their eyes, and it was the coolest thing I have ever seen. That was definitely one of the best days of my entire life. So we went over to pick out Bibles for the boys, and you could totally see what kind of boys they were as Bryson chose a Bible that was a comic book style Bible because he's definitely more of a visual learner. And Maxwell, he just wanted the regular Bible so he could read it exactly as it was said. And the next day when we had a chance to talk to the kids again to just see if they really understood it and it clicked for them, and they were like talking over each other in an effort to get out what they had been learning and seeing. And Bryson had found the story of when Jesus was on the cross and the criminals were on either side of him. And he found it the most amazing thing that Christ had said that the one criminal, like when the criminal asked, that he said, "You can't, today you are with me in paradise." And he found that the most incredible thing on the planet. And God was so real to them, real to him, and you could totally see that in what he was trying to tell me. And Maxwell was equally as excited about what his grandma had been telling him about in the Bible the night before, and they were just so happy with how this was working. I got a chance to talk to Bryson's mom later, and she had tears in her eyes. She was so excited that, like, she was a Christian, and so was Maxwell's mom, but neither of them had ever made a real confession of faith. Neither of their dads were saved, so it was probably kind of a difficult situation at home to try and show your kid what is the Bible and how God loves them and everything like that. So she was really excited to see that, and the boys were so excited for what had happened, and they seemed really animated. We didn't have any other chances to see them, but I've been praying for them every day, and all of the other kids who were there, and it's amazing to think back on what happened and all the people who blessed our lives as well as we tried to bless their lives through the abilities that God had given us. And we definitely were more blessed than we could have blessed anyone there. And it was so cool, all the things that happened that none of us expected. So that was really, really exciting. So this trip was one of the most amazing things, but the cool thing was coming back and being able to be a part of the VBS here at home, because we got to do basically the same thing and to talk to the kids and get excited with them. It was so cool to see them learning their memory verses and being excited about that, hearing the story and getting their hand up really, really high to be able to say that they knew what the story was about and they could tell everybody. So it was really, really cool to see that here as well. So we realized that it wasn't just in Nova Scotia, that it's here as well, and that we can honor Christ and tell other people about him no matter where we are, whether it's here or there. And that was really, really exciting. And I was talking to both Jessica and Jade at different times on the beach, and in both conversations, we couldn't stop exclaiming over what had happened, that, nothing was what we could have put together or organized, and it was just really, really cool to see that. And we kept on saying that we didn't want to lose the passion that God had given us while we were down there. And so it was really, really cool to be able to work, continue with that passion at the VBS, and we want that to continue as we live our lives. And it's just a really good reminder to keep on fire for Christ and keep that passion in you. And in the beginning of Mark 4, verse 11, it says, "And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." So if we have been entrusted to that, the mystery, then we need to share that, because to others it is still a mystery. And we need to share that with them and help them to recognize the love Christ has for them and everything that he has done for them. And I just pray that we will be able to continue in that. And I just thank you guys so much for the praying you did before and during while we were gone, and even now that we're back. It's really cool to remember. And I just pray that we can all remember those people that we saw down in Nova Scotia, and that you guys can continue to pray for them, because it was definitely really exciting, and they are going to need lots of prayer. And even though we can't exactly give them support, prayer support, that they can know that there are people back here who are praying for them, that they will continue in the faith that they have accepted while we were down there. And it was just really cool, and I thank you for that.
Can you imagine how much fun I had with these girls over 11 days? Can you imagine what it was like driving 20 hours, the first 20 hours after this was all over with on the way home? It was great. It was great, really. First of all, thanks for supporting us. Thanks for supporting us financially and prayerfully. As a congregation, you guys have invested in your youth this summer. Earlier this year, you sent a team to El Salvador from the university, and you invested in these girls, sending them to Nova Scotia. And, I think sometimes maybe people wonder, what can a young team like that do? But the Spirit was there, and the Lord was working, and it was amazing. So thank you very much for that. On a personal note, after my Jamaican missions trip, I started praying for my own girls, an opportunity for them to be able to go. And they didn't know. They're young, right? And when the Lord opened the door, I was so excited. So thank you for that.
It was a privilege to get to know people in Nova Scotia and to represent Newcastle Fellowship Baptist Church. I feel like there's a relationship that we have with them, and I'm sure over time you will meet some of them, and I'm sure that that relationship will grow like it did with, let's say, Barris from Jamaica or from some people in Brazil, the church that we're supporting, these past missions trips. The work is not finished just because we've come home. I've been blessed to go on several missions trips, and maybe it's because I had a bit of a different role this time, a bit of an overseer. But the way the Spirit moved on this missions trip was remarkable. I've seen the Spirit move in individual lives and in individual situations, but to actually stand back and just watch the Spirit moving in the people, the parents, the people at the church, the children, the girls on the team, it was remarkable. It was a beautiful privilege to watch. Don't ever rob yourself of an opportunity to go and serve the Lord, to step out. Because I feel like I've been so blessed. And I wish all of you, and I pray for all of you, that you would be able to experience that same blessing. There's nothing like it. You know, if you could think of the best thing you've ever done and the most wonderful thing, and just multiply it. Because that's what it is when you step out and when you see God work. It's amazing. Just a few little things. I met a woman on the Monday. Her name was Stephanie. She was a mom, and I just got to chatting with her. And, you know, she was really willing to chat, and she told me that she was saved at camp when she was a child, and but she really hadn't been walking with the Lord. And she told me that her nephew, when he was 13, had accepted Christ. And she said she'd never seen such a change in someone after they accepted Christ. And she told me that 2 years later, he'd been killed in a car accident. And she started to cry, and she said, his funeral was the most beautiful funeral I've ever been to. She said the testimony that he left was remarkable. And I said to her, I said, well, we're going to share that message with your son this week. And she just looked at me and she said, thank you so much. And Amy had the privilege of leading her son to the Lord that week. It was amazing. And I remember she was so excited when we told her. And she came out to our family night and she was just so excited and on fire for the Lord. And I asked you to pray for Stephanie, that she would get established in that church. I already saw the people at the church reach out to her and establish friendships and relationships with her. So pray that she'll continue to be able to go to church and that her husband will come to know the Lord and that they will start investing in that church as well and growing what is a church with no children, which is sad. It has one child. So pray that these children come. Pray that this brings new life because the Spirit was there and the Spirit will do the work. Then there was Max, Max's dad. Max's dad came in on Tuesday with Max and for whatever reason said, I haven't been in church in 20 years. I haven't stepped foot in a church. Funny thing was that day he had to come in three times because of different circumstances. He had to come into the church three times. So Max also was with Amy and prayed for salvation. And it's exciting because Max's grandmother's a strong Christian from the testimony we heard from Max. And his mother's a Christian, but his dad is not. And Max's dad came out to the beach on family night when Jade gave her testimony, and it would really be what Jade was referring to when she gave her testimony. I just kept watching Max's dad. I had talked to him a bit, and I knew it was exactly what he needed to hear. It really mirrored a lot of what we already knew about Max's dad. And again, that was the best part about this small group. We knew all these things, and it was amazing. So he was there. He heard the testimonies. We sang worship songs. He heard, you know, he heard the gospel. Hadn't been in church in 20 years, but he heard the gospel on the beach. So that was amazing. And then Deb talked about Nate, and he was Nate the Great, and they had a beautiful relationship. And it was wonderful to watch Christian fellowship, intergenerational. My mom said that to me. That's a blessing of this church, is intergenerational fellowship. And I watched those two, and that's what it was. And it was the Spirit. It was, again, it was the Spirit working. It was the Spirit moving. It was awesome. Nate's mom said that she always put on Christian music in the car, and Nate was kind of, you know, not so, he was a little cool to it. She said it was awesome this week. When you guys, since you guys have been here, since the Spirit has been here, Nate is singing those songs in the back of the car, and he's praising the Lord, you know? So it was amazing. It was the Spirit on his heart. It was the Spirit saying, praise me, because, you know, he experienced that. It was awesome. And then there was Trevor, Samantha, and Lindsay's mom. On Thursday, I think it was, that Betty and I were just sitting, and she just came up to us with tears in her eyes, and she said, my kids have been to many VBSs, and they've brought home prizes and crafts, and they've had lots of fun. But she said, This time they brought home something in their hearts. And I thought that was amazing. What more could you want to hear? And they did bring home something in their hearts because Lindsay got saved. And Samantha had a wonderful time of fellowship with one of the other girls, just talking about how it's tough to live the Christian walk when you're in school. They had a great conversation about what the challenges are to live as a Christian and about some people that say that they are, but they don't act like they are. And they had a great time of fellowship. So she brought that home in her heart. And Trevor, he listened and he heard and he brought home lots of questions. Pray for Trevor, because I don't think he's saved. Pray for Trevor, but he sure had a lot of questions. So she's right. That's what they brought home in her heart. And she went to her church meeting. We might have stirred the pot a little bit. She went to her church meeting and said, this is what we have to do. We need to have a VBS at our church, and we need to get the kids from the Christian college that's close by to come and do it. And this is what we're going to do. She was so excited when she came to tell us on the last day that she was there. So I have snapshots in my head of these people. And it's just the spirit. That's what I see. When I think of the people and when I think of the love that they showed us and the response that we had back from them, it was beautiful. And it was definitely the spirit. And I just praise and thank the Lord for that so much. And another one of the privileges I had was being able to prepare a Bible study with Annie. And that whole Bible study was about the spirit. And one of the verses said, now the Lord is the spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And that's what it was, and it was awesome. So thanks.
You, my hand, you.
Okay, me and Annie are going to do a little interview here. Okay. Annie, Annie, why did you go on the mission trip?
I went on the mission trip to serve God and learn how to pray because I didn't really know how to pray before I went, and to make new friends in Christ.
What kind of things did you do?
Well, I helped leading worship for the actions in VBS, and I shared the gospel with lots of kids, and we had a youth night, and we had lots of fun. We played games, and they did the prodigal there that night.
Does it make you look forward to being in youth?
Yeah.
What was the funnest part of the missions trip?
Well, I think for me it was the beach, because we got to go on a raft and we had a hot dog roast and s'mores. So, yeah.
What was the hardest part of the missions trip?
Well, we did a skit every morning, so it was skits for me, and I got frustrated every time we were practicing, so I had to control my temper, and yeah.
And how did you see God work on the missions trip?
Well, there's this girl named Lindsay, and she, me and Emmy, we knew that she was interested, so I asked her, and she went home that night, and she accepted Jesus as her Savior. But the next day I asked her, and she said she didn't really get it. So I explained it to her, and me and Miss Betty explained it to her, and she got saved.
Tell me about one person you met on the trip and why they were special to you.
Lindsay, because I got to be her friend, and now I know that she's my sister in Christ.
You guys are going to write each other, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Would you go on another missions trip?
I definitely would, because I loved it so much, telling people about Jesus, that I didn't want to leave.
Why are missions important, do you think?
Well, it's the experience with other people, and you learn how to be closer to God.
And what's a verse that you would think of when you think of this trip?
It was the main verse that we did for VBS, Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
Why is that kind of a good verse for you, you think?
I don't really know.
Okay. All right, next victim. Thanks, Annie. Okay, and why did you go on a missions trip?
I went to learn for the experience, to serve others and God, and also to get to know the girls on the trip.
What kind of things did you do on the trip?
We ran a beach VBS, did awesome skits, and met lots of people. We also, one day we painted Donna's railing, which was, Donna was the lady who we stayed with. Yeah.
What was the most fun part of the mission trip?
Probably getting to know so many new people and kids. I now have lots of new friends, including all the girls who went with us. Also, one of the very fun parts, I thought, was decorating the room that we used for the VBS. My job was to run the games, and I also helped lead the worship. This was fun, and we already knew the songs because we used the soundtrack from the VBS that we did a few years ago. One day, also, we had a VBS beach party, and we roasted hot dogs, had s'mores, and went in the freezing cold water, which was 9 degrees, and we also went crab hunting. We found lots of crabs.
What was the hardest part of the mission trip?
Literally staying awake. I also missed my dad and my dog a lot.
How did you see God work on the mission trip?
That would really actually take a really long time to finish, but 8 kids came to Christ. Also, I got to talk to a girl named Samantha, and she was already saved, but it was good talking to her. If the question was how did God work with me, I definitely had to trust him a lot more, and I have a problem with that sometimes. And also, one day, Miss Betty did a devotional. We were studying 2 Corinthians, and she was doing it on 2 Corinthians 8, and it was about other Christians helping other Christians. And that day, we went to McDonald's, and in the car, we went to the cashier, and then the lady said that the people had already paid for our food, and they gave us extra food, and so one of the girls hopped out and asked the people in the other car why they did that, and they said that they were on a missions trip, too.
Yep. Tell me about one person you met on the trip and why they're special to you.
Everybody was a real blessing, but I think especially all the girls who went there, because we got to encourage each other and helped each other. I would actually have to bring you there for you to completely understand how amazing it was. At breakfast, there was 9 people at the table. Someone wanted the peanut butter. It would have to go like halfway around the table before they got to you, but everybody seemed to know who wanted the peanut butter.
And I should take the opportunity to mention that I'm very thankful to these girls because they treated the younger girls like full and complete equals as part of the team, included them, and ministered to them greatly. So I'm very appreciative of that. Would you go on another missions trip?
Definitely. You feel like a part of a big family, and God is everywhere. It was amazing.
And what is the verse that reminds you of the Nova Scotia missions trip?
Isaiah 6:8, the one we have on the wall. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me."
Hi, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Carissa Heron. I went on the missions trip with 11 other girls, and it was simply amazing. I learned a lot of things, and I think I grew quite a bit in God. As I'm sure most of you know, we did a VBS at Bayview United Baptist Church. At the VBS, I spent most of my time with 2 little girls. Their names were Joy and Sophia. Joy was there every day but Friday, and Sophia was there every day but Monday. So I had my hands full. We had some one-on-one time on the last 2 days of VBS. My cousin Sydney and I were with Keaton, Sophia, and Joy. We had the opportunity to talk about Jesus some more with them, which was quite good. Other than VBS, we did a youth night. We went to a camp and had a family night campfire for the VBS at the beach, and we participated in 2 Sunday services. For me, this missions trip was an amazing experience, and if I had the chance, I would love to do another missions trip. A verse that really helped me throughout this trip was Philippians 4:13, which is, "I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength." A lot of things throughout this trip stretched me a lot, but God pulled me through. Our God is an awesome God. It has been so amazing for me to see God's handwork throughout our trip to Nova Scotia. Thank you.
Now that you've had an opportunity to feel like you know some of these people in Port Maitland, we're going to show you a slideshow so that you can put some faces to some of these names.
Thank you. such small sacrifice, not joined with my life. I sing in vain tonight. May the words I say and the things I do make my life song sing, bring a smile. I'm
I consider it a real privilege to have gone on this trip with these girls and these ladies. And God did a mighty work while we were there. I hope you got a flavor of the Holy Spirit working, because we didn't do anything other than show up. And God wowed us. I could say that I was overwhelmed by the trip. And I want to thank you for your support, your prayer support, your financial support. It meant a lot to know that people were home praying. Many of you sent emails, and we'd share them around the breakfast table. And we just had a wonderful time of sharing and basking in being in the presence of the Lord. It's interesting, I was looking through the Bible this week for how frequently the word overwhelmed was used. And ironically, almost every time it was used for sorrow, death, awareness of sin. But there is one spot in Mark chapter 7 where Jesus commanded the people not to tell anyone. He didn't want to excite the people, the religious people. He didn't want the Pharisees to get jealous. It wasn't his time. But the more he did so, it says, the more they kept talking about it. The scripture says the people were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. And we saw him make the deaf hear the gospel for the first time. God gave us a rich glimpse of how he works on the children, on their parents, on the church, on the community in Port Maitland, and on us, on the team's families, and hopefully on you. He has not done his work of marrying us with this little church and this small community in Nova Scotia. I think one of the kids mentioned it is one of the poorest communities of all of Canada. It is noted as being the most financially depraved area in Canada, particularly with the closing of ferries and things to that little village. But they were touched by the Holy Spirit. We were touched. We saw tears well up in people's eyes from the people that you would actually least expect it from. God's work hasn't ended with this trip. In fact, I think of our time home. We nicely got home. I think kids had two nights in their own bed, and we were off to a retreat at the gracious hand of the trolleys. And we went to the church in Bancroft, and some of these girls sang there. And 50 of our teens got up and sang in Bancroft. There were more people who got up at the front of the church than were sitting in the congregation. God is building an army of his saints here. He has a work that he wants them to do. And we had VBS this week, and most of these girls on their way home, and all they could talk about was, oh, now we get to do it again. And God did his work this past week with many people participating and volunteering to help out in that. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. And I think of the work of the Holy Spirit relative to this trip. It started about a year ago when God placed on my heart that we needed to show our young people how they, even in their youth, can serve the Lord. And it placed on my heart that we should actually do that in a safe place, not El Salvador, and in an English-speaking place, so that they'd be able to fully communicate with those that they were working with. And then God brought this small church into our presence. I was talking with Donna Grant, who's had a long relationship here, and God works through relationships. And she goes, "We haven't had any children's ministry or youth for years. We have one child in our church, and we have one youth who's the pastor's son." And the Holy Spirit said, "Gee, we'll close the doors if there aren't any youth." So it was clear that's where we should go. And it was interesting, actually, when we arrived in Digby, we were driving to Port Maitland, and on the way, we saw these signs saying, if anybody's been in Nova Scotia along the Bay of Fundy, Evangelical Trail. And I said, gee, have we misheard from the Lord? But actually, as I talked with Donna, she said, actually, a lot of churches along that trail are actually closing. So one of the rich places that God has blessed in Canada is actually spiritually suffering. So it was a good place to go. And we saw God work. And Pastor Noel read Revelation 3 about the church in Philadelphia. And it reminded me of the church in Port Maitland. The church in Philadelphia was a small church, but nothing was going to close its doors because God wanted them to stay open. And we don't know the plans of God, but hopefully the work that we've done there actually is a piece of the puzzle that actually helps keep that church alive and moving forward. It was interesting to see the excitement in the pastor's son who wants to get a youth group going. And Donna's all excited about getting a children's ministry going, a Bible study going for the young people that have been saved. So by God's grace, he'll continue to do his work there. And they're in a difficult situation. The pastor there is sick. And he did remarkably well to actually come out and be there every day and many evenings. And he has two charges that he services. Two churches that he actually ministers to on Sunday and through the week. So there's a heavy task in front of them. And he said, his comment to me was, this is just what our church needed. People came alive. In fact, we didn't know anything any different. But they were out every morning and they were preparing lunch while we were doing VBS. And they were actively engaged, and they helped with registration, and they were excited. And by the last Sunday, we saw grown men with tears welled up in their eyes. He said, "I can't talk. I'm just overwhelmed. I can't talk." And that's the Holy Spirit. And the Apostle John records Jesus saying, "But I have a greater witness than John." He's talking about John the Baptist. "My teachings and my miracles, they have been assigned to me by the Father, and they testify that the Father sent me." And we saw the Holy Spirit work miracles this week. The girls give you a little glimpse of them. I mean, how God webs these things together is amazing. But new souls accepting Christ is a miracle. And his teachings, his gospel message, is alive. You can tell these girls have had an experience with Christ. He's real to them now because they have actually witnessed what Christ can do. And they had many firsts. Many did devotions for a first time. Many give their testimonies for a first time. Many led people to Christ and were used in that way by the Holy Spirit for a first time. And he's grown them. They weren't the same girls coming back as the girls we took down with us. So as Angela said, we're pretty excited about what we saw. I think the hostesses and hostesses saw the same thing. They were investing in our girls, recognizing that they were growing in the Lord too. And I'm sure some of them feel they've got new adopted parents in Nova Scotia. Watch out, Mom and Dad, because some of them want to go back. Jesus also said, you search the scriptures because you believe they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. That is Christ. These girls found out that the scripture is alive. I remember on Thursday when we said that today is the day that we should break up and share the gospel one or two at a time with each of the kids to ensure they really understand it. We've told lots of stories. We've shared the gospel to the entire group. But let's deal with some one-on-one time. And Angela and I and Deb, we sat back and watched the Holy Spirit use these girls to share the scripture with these young people and try and ensure they understood it. When Annie and I met with Lindsay, I'll never forget. I mean, Lindsay's what, 10 or 11? How old are you, Annie? Annie's 9. And we're sitting there talking, and Annie goes, Lindsay, the most important thing for you to understand is what Jesus did for you on the cross. And then she went on to explain why that was important. And Lindsay had a challenge with anger and a hard time forgiving her brothers and sisters. And Annie, once again, I used to have a problem with anger too. And I've been praying about it and God's making it better. Talk about relating. The Holy Spirit was at work through these girls, and it was a pleasure for me to be able to see it at work. It was interesting for me to see these girls discover what prayer can do. Some of you will remember the church praying for Peter when he was in prison. In Acts 12, it says, but while Peter was in prison, the church prayed earnestly for him. And you guys remember his miraculous exodus from prison as a result of that, and him going to visit them while they're praying. And these girls saw that God works in miraculous ways when you pray. And he doesn't do anything if you don't. And it was amusing for us who were a little bit older and have seen God at work before to hear the girls by about the second day saying, this is way too comfortable. Before that day had ended and the sun had set, there had been four police incidents in Port Maitland. That's probably as many as they have in 5 years. They had met girls that were wild and, as Jessica put it, knew way too much about the world. But God had begun to weave his plan. Those kids never would have come out to something like this if they hadn't met them and built a relationship during the course of the week. And God used that to let the Holy Spirit set in and start convicting them of their sin. Acts 1:8 has been something that's been on my mind all year. It says,
But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. This is the disciples when they're in the upper room. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, our hometown, Newcastle. You'll be our witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, our own province, and in Samaria, our neighboring provinces, Nova Scotia, and to the ends of the earth, El Salvador, Brazil, Jamaica, and other places that we have missionaries stationed. And I have more and more felt compelled that we actually should not forget our mission field here in our own community and in Ontario. A couple of the girls were saying that during the trip, God had really convicted them of things, and you could tell that God was working on them, whether it was pride or whether it was selfishness or servant's heart. And they wondered what God had convicted me of. And what God's convicted me of is that I prayed more for this trip than I prayed for VBS here. And I don't know about you guys. We put a lot of focus on missions. But Jerusalem, Newcastle, is a missions field. And I was challenged in my life that we need to put tons of focus on our own community. He said, yeah, we're involved in youth and stuff like that. But when we put our programs on, the Holy Spirit's only going to really work if we get on our knees and pray about it. And if we spend a year praying about Nova Scotia, we should be starting now praying about next year's VBS here. And then we'll see God and the Holy Spirit really do things. And I know that that's an area that I need to focus on. We all have our ministries, but there's so many places that God actually wants to move. And it's all about just being available, willing, able, and praying about it. So I hope that the girls that went on the trip have come back realizing that. And some of them actually already do. They said, this VBS just wasn't quite the same as Nova Scotia. It's the prayer that makes the difference. So if I leave you with any challenge, we had one this morning, which is preach the word. Tonight, I challenge you to pray before you preach so that we can see the Holy Spirit do his work. We were blessed to see what he did in Nova Scotia. And he's got a lot more he wants to do here. There are so many young people, middle-aged people, senior people, and they all have a role to play in ensuring that we have an impact for Christ. So thank you for your time. There we are. I want to set this song up. We closed out in Nova Scotia with a song that these girls are now going to sing. A hush, come on, the church. And many were left speechless because God used them in a mighty way to share his word, and the Holy Spirit moved. And I pray that he does the same again tonight.